Reading, we turn to the 12th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians and the 12th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, this is the word of the Lord. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. I wonder what you'd say if I asked you the question, does your body matter to you? See, maybe Christmas has raised that question again. I mean, all the eating, for example. You didn't really mean to eat all the things that you ate over Christmas. And so there's that to contend with for the next couple of months. But also because, you know, the people you love buy you clothes at Christmas. Now, that used to be bad enough because you had the clothes and that was that. Now, there is the ultimately terrifying thing that accompanies the gift called the gift receipt. And why that is ultimately terrifying is because, of course, you can actually take the jumper back and get it changed for a bigger one. But you really don't want to move up another size. So it didn't used to be so bad in the past, of course, because you could leave it in the packet and just say, well, maybe it'll fit me in the future, you know. But now you actually have the choice. You can go and get it replaced. So you have to confront this issue of body image no matter which way you look at it. Mind you, it cuts both ways, not just if you've put on weight, but if you've lost weight. Just a couple of days before Christmas, a friend of ours called at the house to leave off a present from himself, his wife, and his daughter for Lucy, for our granddaughter. And I hadn't seen him for, well, maybe about a year or so, and he had lost a considerable amount of weight. And he was always a fit, healthy, active kind of a man. He's retired now. But he had lost a phenomenal amount of weight, and he has been losing weight now for the last 3 or 4 years. Every time I see him, he seems to be smaller than he was before, you know. And he gave me the gifts, and I said, how are you, Alec? And he said, grand, you know, he said, they can't find anything wrong with me, he said. Like even without me asking the question, he felt he had to explain why he'd lost even more weight than he had the last time I saw him. Body image is really kind of important to us, isn't it? And you know what? Body image matters to Jesus. He draws attention to body image right here, right now this morning, at this table where we gather. His words force it to the forefront of our attention. This is my body, which is broken for you. Jesus is asking us to look at it. He is holding it up for inspection. He's saying, this is the body image I want you to have of me. And at this table, what we do is, as we know from the words of the institution, we'll read in a moment or two from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we proclaim the Lord's death at this table. And by proclaiming his death and using these symbols of bread and wine, we remember how. I don't know how it is for you, but for me, if I close my eyes at the Lord's table, it seems my mind almost always wanders to the nailing scene from the film, The Passion of the Christ. His hands and feet were stretched out, nailed to the cross. He kind of, that image comes to mind for me. Or some of those graphic works of art you may remember from the Middle Ages or from more romantic times that maybe you saw in art books at school or something like that, or maybe occasionally you've seen on the internet or in a religious book, you know. Especially the ones that are pictures of Jesus after he has been taken down from the cross. Usually he's being cradled either in his mother's arms or in the arms of one of the disciples. His broken, dead body in the arms of his friends. Body image. Maybe that's what comes to mind when we come to the table. And that's a valid image because it's true. That is how he died. That is what it costs to redeem you and me. But today I want you to see another image, another body image, also contained in this table. And also important to Christ. You see, our tradition about the Lord's Supper comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It was handed down to us by Paul. Paul says, and I'll read the words shortly, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." Paul says, I didn't make this up for myself. God gave me this word for you about the Lord's table. And then he tells us what it consists of and what Jesus did, what the actions were. And we have that tradition from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just one chapter later, Paul takes up the body image issue. In the words of the verses we read just a few moments ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul looks at the church as a body. And he says there, in verse 27 of chapter 12, "Now you," those are the Christian members of the church at Corinth, "you are the body of Christ." You are the body of Christ. This is the only body image of Christ you will see in this life. The body that Jesus has was resurrected with him, glorified and ascended to the right hand of the Father, and you and I will not see him in that body until he returns and we are gathered up to meet him in the air. Until then, the only body image of Christ that you and I can see is this one. Is this body. And here, Paul emphasizes how this body image underlies and commands the unity of believers. That's what he was talking about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, a body to be a body needs diversity. A body can't consist all of one part. If it was all an eye, well, where would the sense of hearing be? If it was all an ear, where would the sense of smell be? A body can't be one part. A body has to have diversity. There has to be many parts. So a body needs diversity, but to be a body, not only does it need diversity, it needs mutuality. The greater needs the lesser, and the lesser is given more respect and protection than the greater. And where you have diversity and mutuality, you have a body, many parts, but one body. So there is a wealth of parts, but no one part does everything. Each part has its own significance. Now, that's the body image of the church that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the image of diversity, many parts, and mutuality, one body. And this body image is also found at the Lord's table. And because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it was this body image, the body image of the body of Christ in his people, a diversity of parts, but one body. It was that body image which was being smashed to smithereens every time the Corinthians came to the table of the Lord. The one place where the body image of Christ was important to maintain was the one place they were destroying it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20, just before the words of the institution, Paul says this, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. Well, what are they eating then? Well, Paul said, it's not the Lord's supper. Why? Because when you come together, some people indulge themselves, eating and drinking far too much, and while other people sitting at the same table are starving. What are you doing? You are smashing to smithereens the body image of Christ, the only body image of Christ available to the world today. You are many parts, but you ought to be one body. And the wealthy ought to be caring for the poor. No one ought to have more than anyone else. So Paul insists on it being corrected. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. Verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 11. This body image matters at the table of the Lord. Today, at the start of a new year, when we meet at the table of the Lord, I want you to think about body image. I want you to forget about the one that's been troubling you all over the Christmas holidays. It's not going to go away today, okay? So just forget about it. Nothing you can do about it right now. I want you not to think about the body image that often pervades our minds when we sit at the table, which is the body image of the crucified Christ died in your place and mine. I want you to think of the body image that we are meant to be. For you, Paul says, are the body of Christ. What kind of body are we meant to see at the table? Well, think about the words of Jesus. Jesus said, this is my body. Just think about that for a moment. Hear these words again. This is my body. I want you to hear Jesus say these words to us and about us. Why? Because I think we lose the wonder of our body. We lose the wonder of it. You know, we look at it. What does it look like? You know, maybe there was a day when looking in the mirror wasn't such a trial, but it's not what it used to be. And you look at the various bits of it, and what are they? They're just part of your body. I look at my hands. What do I see? Actually, I look at my hands. I see my father's hands. It's just this weird thing. I only noticed it a number of years ago. The veins stand out in the back of it just the way they did in his. It's the same kind of skin. When I look at my hands, I see my dad's hands. But apart from that, they're just hands. And they don't cause me any great shock or any great surprise. But it was not always so. See, I've reached that exalted stage in life now that I'm a grandfather. And I'm watching my granddaughter reminding me of things that I've forgotten about. Because in the last couple of weeks, my granddaughter has discovered her hands. And you remember that amazing moment? You remember if you've had children, you've seen it happen, you know, where first of all, it kind of goes past their face and they think, wow, what was that? And then they realize after a few days, it keeps going past their face. And then gradually they get focus. And then they sit there. They just sit there looking at this amazing thing attached to the end of their arm. And then they find they've got two, not just one. And there was a time in your life and in my life when these hands were the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. But through time, I forgot. I lost the wonder of it, of the incredible thing that God did when he made human beings in his image and likeness and clothed them in flesh that has hands. And so sometimes we need to be reminded, we need the Holy Spirit to enable that to happen among us again this morning as we look around us. Jesus says, this is my body. If we could just for one moment recapture the awe that a child feels as it looks at itself and realizes, as the psalmist says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If God, the Holy Spirit, could enable us to look around this building this morning at the men and women we sit with and feel that sense of awe and wonder that Jesus says, this is my body. To look at that person beside me and see them like once I saw my hands when I was a child, with wonder and awe and love and joy to be a part of the body of Christ. I want the Holy Spirit to help us see that, get a vision of that again. Maybe most especially later when communion is over and I do that thing you all hate me to do, which is when I invite you to offer each other the peace and we all kind of feel kind of awkward and Presbyterian about it and one thing and another. When I asked you to do that this morning, maybe you need to get up from wherever it is you're sitting, and maybe you need to go to somebody way across on the far side of the building. Maybe you need to climb the stairs to somebody upstairs to give them a hug and shake their hand, because for you they are the most amazing part of the body of Christ. This is my body. Not shortbread and grape juice, but people. You and I. This is the only body image of Christ the world will see till Jesus returns. Isn't it fantastic to be a part of that? We want God the Holy Spirit. When I say those words later in the service, this is my body, we want God the Holy Spirit to give us a vision of this incredible body of which we are a part, and to see it with new eyes. But Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. If God was looking for a body for his church, you know, for his son, perhaps the body that he has chosen is not what we might expect. After all, bodies never are. Are you the way you had hoped you would be at your age? Or did you think you would be taller, thinner, bit more sporty, maybe sexier looking, I don't know. What way did you think you would be when you are the age you are now? I'm not sure about you, but maybe it's been a little disappointing. I had one of those kind of horror moments over Christmas. We got the dreaded Mamma Mia DVD. It's us and kind of like everybody else in the whole wide world, I think, from the sales figures. And so we watched it, not just once, but twice over the Christmas period. You can see how sick I was. And I'm watching the film and I'm thinking, look at Pierce Brosnan. Don't bother listening to him singing, but look at Pierce Brosnan. You know, isn't he incredible looking? And I'm thinking to myself, as far as I'm concerned, he's the best James Bond there ever was. Look at him. And I kind of Googled and got his website and looked it up. And then I came across this most distressing fact. You know what? He's a year older than me. How can that be? You know, look at him, for goodness sake. Color of his hair, you know, I don't know. What is that? Why does that happen to some people and the rest of us just have to make do with the ordinary, you know? And the body of Christ is not a perfect specimen, you know? It's not, if you were to pick out the body in that age range of a group of people, that would be the one you'd pick as the best example of a fine, upstanding human being. Body of Christ at this table we sit at today is broken and shared out for the needs of the world. Jesus' body wasn't a perfect body. He had to work for a living. No doubt his body bore the marks of all of that. Not only so, but the scripture seems to tell us that when we meet him finally, when he returns, even in the glory, his body, though glorious, will be marked. It will be marked with prints in his hands, his feet, and his side. It is not a perfect body. It's a body, Jesus said, which is broken for you. And when you hear these words this morning, I want you to imagine Jesus saying them over you. Yes, this is my body, which is broken for you. But saying them past you to a needy world. That Jesus is saying, this is my body. This is the only body image in the world of Christ today. And this body is broken for you, he says to the world. This is not the perfect image, you know, where everything is in its place and where there's no pain and no suffering and no difficulty. Rather, quite the reverse. To be part of the body of Christ is to embrace and take on board a reality which means to suffer and experience pain for the sake of the world. Now, this body is already seeking to touch that world. There's some amazing stories coming out of Helping Hands. Someday I want to get Jackie up here to tell you some of those stories of what has already happened just because we've brought a few extra groceries from Tesco's and left them in the porch of the church and boxed them and sent them out to people at the end of last year. How important it is that we keep up that when we started it, you know, because it's touching lives and it's making a difference. It's costing us something and we're offering it for free and we're expecting nothing in return, but it's touching that world. This is my body, which is broken for you, broken up and shared out. But there will be more. If we want to be the body of Christ, there will be more. This body has to be broken up and shared out. I believe over the next while, increasingly, we have to be broken up and shared out so that we can touch different locations across this place called Newton Abbey that we have set ourselves as our goal to reach in the name of Jesus. I believe one of the things over this next few Sunday mornings, we're going to be thinking a lot about Pastorus, which is our new home group, home groups we're trying to establish later this month. I believe all across, dotted across Newton Abbey, there are locations to which our people need to disperse for study and worship and prayer and fellowship, because only in those dispersed locations will they be able to touch all these 80,000 lives that we have asked God to give us in these next years. Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you. Broken up, shared out, dispersed across the needy world so that people might hear about Christ. When you come to the table today, I want you to hear Jesus say these words, but I want you to hear Jesus say them differently. When he says the words, this is my body, he's talking about you and I. And we're asking him to give us a new image of this body. It's important to him to see it with new eyes. This is my body, which is broken for you. I'm asking you now not so much to think about that body broken on the cross, that blood shed that you might be forgiven. Let's give thanks to God for that. We've already been doing so in our worship. But I want you to hear Jesus speaking those words over us as his body and addressing them to the needs of Newton Abbey all around us here. This is my body, which is broken for you. What is the pain? What is the cost? What is it that we need to be doing? To where do we need to disperse that we might share with the needs of our society the wonder of the love and forgiveness of Christ? To touch 80,000 people is a massive task. Can't do it with one loaf of bread. You've got to break it up and pass it around. Where's God sending you and I right now? At this table, as we share the broken parts of his body, may we hear the Spirit prompting us where it is he wants us to go, whose life it is he wants us to touch, what location it is he wants us to find, where we can meet and draw others in to the knowledge of Christ. This is my body, which is broken for you. You are the body image of Christ.